Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And the idea for today's episode came from a conversation I was having with a friend probably about a week before I was recording this episode. And they have a tendency towards being very anxious, and they for a while would talk to me about how, well, yeah, you would be anxious too if you were in my situation. But it became apparent to them at some point that that wasn't really true, that their anxiety was coming from constantly thinking about the thing, because they could see that in those moments where they weren't thinking it, they didn't feel anxious about it. And they went, well, that's great, I guess, but how do I not think about it? And I actually thought that was a great question. And what I realized in exploring it with them was there really are two things I know that help me not think about stuff that it's just not helpful to think about. And one is understanding that some stuff isn't worth thinking about. So if I fundamentally think it is important to think about something, I used to get a lot of clients with worry and anxiety. And one of the questions I would often ask them is, if I could wave a magic wand and make it so you could never worry about this again, would you want me to? And every single one of them said, well, no, I want to do it less, but I still want to be able to do it. And when I asked them why, the answers were invariably because at some level, they thought worrying about it, thinking about it all the time, was keeping them safe from it, was protecting them, and or worrying about it all the time, thinking about it all the time, was motivating them to take action. So as long as it looks to you like thinking about something is important, that it's what any sane person would do, it's what a good person would do, it's what a responsible person would do, it's keeping you safe, it's motivating you, there's really no point in trying not to do it. Because fundamentally it looks like not just a good idea, but the mother of all good ideas. And we're way too smart to let ourselves get away with not thinking about something that we think is important to think about. But if you can see that it's just not true, that in the instance of worry and anxiety, what keeps us safe is presence. What keeps us safe is our innate sense of danger that we don't even notice in our society because we are continually being bombarded with thoughts and messages that everything is dangerous, or positive thoughts that nothing is dangerous, that we've lost that built-in animal design to notice a real and present danger. And when people don't quite get the distinction, one of the examples that I'll sometimes give is what I call the front door test. Is if somebody comes to your front door, you usually know pretty quickly whether or not to let them in. You know, I have a friend from an older generation who talks about that, like if you're sitting out on your porch, you know, you can tell who to wave to on the street, who to invite up to sit a spell on the porch, and who to invite into your home. I think that's a little old-fashioned for a lot of us these days, but the notion is still the same, that we can do that better when we're not totally in our head worrying about everything, exhausting our attention so we don't have anything left in the tank when it really comes down to it. But then the second part of not thinking about stuff is recognizing that the one thing that we seem to have some control of with our minds is where we place our attention. And when our attention is focused on what might go wrong and scary imaginary futures, we're going to get caught up in it. It's going to get more and more real because attention acts like an amplifier. It's like taking a balloon, and every time you pay attention, you blow more air, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and becomes a bigger and bigger and bigger deal. Now, there are sort of three strategies I know for usefully shifting attention, and one of them is distraction. And that's the one that most of us are pretty good at, even though we're pretty unconscious about how we do it. So we distract ourselves by putting the TV on. We distract ourselves by being on our phones. We distract ourselves by deciding, I will not watch the news. I will not watch the news. I will not go on social media. I will not do this. We try and just think about anything else instead. And it's not a bad strategy in the sense that it often works to take our attention off our own thinking. But it's a problematic strategy because when we stop distracting ourselves, which is often about 2 a.m, in the middle of the night, because you're not on your phone and the television's not on and there's nobody to talk to, and suddenly it's just that those thoughts are just there. So distraction, while it can work in the moment, isn't really a long-term solution. So another strategy that works better than distraction is intention, that we can deliberately put our attention onto something that we find helpful or inspiring. We can put our attention on music. We can put our attention on the kinds of shows that make us feel really good. We can put our attention on anything that we find, hey, when I pay attention to this, I do better. And they're very connected, right? You're putting your attention on one thing to distract yourself from another, but it suffers from a similar problem to distraction, which is that we just aren't that in control of our attention. Like, there is nobody who 24/7, and if you are a trained yogi and you are the person, email me. I'd love to chat. But there's nobody I know who literally 24/7 controls deliberately where their attention is. So the third strategy is the one that I found makes the biggest difference in my own life. When there's stuff that I don't want to think about because it's not worth thinking about. And that is a shift in intention. But it is a shift from thought to feeling. Now, if you want to get a sense of this for yourself, I'm going to give you an experiment that we can do in real time. And if you're driving, if you're in an unsafe environment, don't do this now, do this later. But if you're clear, if you're in a safe space, then I want you to just take a minute or so to scare yourself a little. And if you don't want to scare yourself, you can anger yourself a little. Those are the two that most people have the most facility with. Most people can scare themselves quite quickly, or at least anger and frustrate themselves quite quickly. But just do it a little, just enough to feel it in your body. And sometimes it's helpful to point to where in your body you start to feel it. So like, if I'm going to anger myself right now, I start to think about things that, I notice it in my throat and my chest. And so that's sort of where I go. Now, when you've got a feeling in your body, when you can point to somewhere in your body, as best you can, take your eye off the thinking that you used to create the feeling and just stay with the physical sensations of the feeling itself. And notice what happens. One of my early mentors, Gay Hendricks, called it the 10-second miracle. He made the case that we're designed in such a way that you can't spend more than 10 seconds focused on physical sensation before that sensation begins to shift. Now, it's not about making it go away or making it better. It's just about following it and noticing where it goes. And if you follow the feeling, you'll notice very quickly that you're no longer lost in the thought. Now, one of the theories that explains that quite well is it serves as a deliberate distraction, right? You're shifting your attention deliberately from the thought to the feeling that comes with the thought. It's like if thought and feeling are two sides of a coin, instead of staring at heads, you begin staring at tails. If instead of having the flashlight shined in your own eyes, you shine it outside, it's going to change your experience. if instead of having the flashlight of attention focused on the thinking, it focuses on the feeling, it will change. But there's a second theory that feels closer to true to me, and I don't know that it's true. But there's a lot of stuff that's been written over the years about the power of now, about the moment. And when you get really present, everybody has a similar experience. They start to feel more expansive. They start to feel more literally present, more grounded. They start to move into a deeper level of feeling, kind of underneath the fluctuations of emotional highs and lows. And the one thing that is always in the moment is your physical body. It can't be anywhere else. You can go anywhere in your mind. It's a time machine up there. You can go up into the past, into the future. In fact, that's where we spend most of our mental time. But your body is always here and now. And so shifting your attention onto the body, the perceptions, the feelings, not the idea of the feeling, but the feeling itself, the sensations, brings you back to the now. And we all do really well right here, right now. Have fun, learn heaps, happy exploring, and I'll talk with you soon.